All right, welcome. Good to be together this morning. Some time ago, I was reading the Bible, and I came across this verse, which I'm sure I've read it many, many times. I have no idea how many. And something stood out to me here that I want to share with you this morning. And I want you to know that I am barely scratching the surface. I noticed that almost every song we sang talked about God giving us something. I noticed that in our lesson, it was about God giving us wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, God gives wisdom. God gives that. One of the things, I don't know how many of you have had this, you get a new car, different car or truck, certain color, whatever, and you start driving down the road and you're like, whoa, there's one, the same color as mine. There's a VW, there's a whatever, you know, whatever you've gotten. And it's like, whoa. Well, that's kind of what happened to me when I started looking at this thing about what God has given to us. Go ahead and pass out the note. If you want note papers, raise your hands. They'll come around, bring them to you. So one of the things that this made me aware of is that the Holy Spirit has been given to us for purposes, a number of purposes. And for us to understand those purposes is very key. And here we're told one of those purposes very specifically. The Holy Spirit has been given to us by God in order to show us what God has given us. And you're going to be amazed. I was amazed when I started looking at some of this. And you're going to be amazed with it as well. But I want us to understand something. Okay, go ahead here. God is depicted throughout Scripture as a good father who gives good gifts. That's a picture that is there over and over and over and over. He gives the best gifts. He doesn't just hand out things just at whim. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and we'll see all of that. And so it's important, it's vital to our understanding to get hold of that so that we're able to properly understand God, we're probably properly able to worship, to have Holy Spirit open our eyes to see what God has given us. And I want us this morning, Holy Spirit, we invite you here, open our eyes to see what you've been sent to show us. What God has given to us. So there, you know, there's a number of things, and when we start thinking about this, there's probably a lot of things that you're going to recognize. But the questions that I'm going to ask this morning are questions from Scripture related to this. What gives you the right to make such a judgment? That's Paul asking the church at Corinth. What do you have that God has not given you? You say, well, I worked hard for what I have. Who gave you the breath? Who gave you the strength? Who gave you the wisdom? Who gave you the... You start going down the list. What do you have that God didn't give you? And so that's, you know, and so if everything you have is from God, why are you bragging about what you have? Like you made it yourself. Like you did it yourself. No. So the question is, what do you have that God didn't give you? Second question is, and this was from Paul again. He says, look, here's God who freely gave his own son for us. He gave him to die for us. And we'll look at that. How shall he not with him? So he's giving him, that's one of the gifts that he's giving to us, is his son. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things. What's he talking about? He's talking, and Paul explains this in Ephesians, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We've been blessed with all, and so in other words, all that heaven has to offer, God has offered. So it only makes sense what Paul is saying. So think about this. If he gave his son, what's anything else he's got there to give? It's less. So any gift that we have beyond Jesus Christ is freely offered to us by the Father because it just makes sense. He's given us the best. He's given us everything, and so everything else comes with it. That's amazing when you start thinking about that. Now, obviously, the gift of Jesus is a very important gift, and we think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave. 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 That's a gift. Jesus Christ coming to earth, living among us, teaching us, showing us the Father, dying and resurrecting is a gift from God to us. That's one of the most important gifts that we can receive. And so, you know, this is the thing with these gifts. God offers these gifts to us, but He doesn't force them on us. We have to receive. We have to take the gift. We have to make it our own. And that's what He's asking us to do this morning. Jesus said, while He was here on earth, My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. God has given the true bread from heaven. Again, this is relation to Christ, relation to the Word that dwelt among us, the Word that we heard from God. Now, the Holy Spirit is a gift. But He's showing us, He's a gift from God, but His purpose is to show us the gifts that God has given to us. So that's kind of interesting. But Peter told the men and women there in Acts, he said, you need to repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, when we repent, when we turn to God, when we're baptized, we receive a gift from God. That gift of Holy Spirit, the person of Holy Spirit who comes to live with us. Now, there's number of things in Romans that Paul talks about gifts. In chapter 5, verse 17, he talks about the gift of righteousness. And we know from Scripture that we are not righteous in ourselves. There is no possible way that we can become righteous in ourselves. It's a gift that's given to us by God. He offers us the gift of righteousness in Jesus Christ. We are clothed, we put on righteousness. It's a gift that's given to us. And that's something that we need to understand clearly if we're going to receive anything from God. Paul talks about this all through Romans. If you're there in Galatians, Ephesians, if you're there trying to earn something, it's not a gift. A gift is something that's given. It's not earned. So all of these things that we're talking about today are things that God, and you think this is stretching your mind right now, just wait till we come to a few more. There's the free gift that results in justification. So we're before God in the courtroom of heaven. The scale needs to be balanced, but the scale is unbalanced, unjustified. My sins are weighing the scale down. What can be done? There's a gift that God places on the scale. When we receive Christ, He places the blood of Jesus Christ on the scale, and the scale balances, and we are justified. That free gift leads to our justification. That's important for us to understand, and it's important for us to continually, and so David recognized some of these things, even though they weren't seen in the sense they are today. And David says, you know what? When we come into God's presence, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with joy. Why? Well, why? Because He's given us so much. So it's important for us. The gift of God, in Romans 6:32, the gift of God is eternal life. He's given us eternal life. That's a gift from God. It's not something that we earn. In chapter 12, verse 6, He says He's given to us gifts differing. In other words, He's given you a gift, He's given you a different gift, He's given me a different gift. He gives gifts to all of us according to how He sees our need. And this goes back to what I preached about our identity. God knows who we are. And when we understand who we are in Him, then we begin to understand the gifts that He's given us and the importance of them and the value of everybody else's gifts in working together for the kingdom of God. That's important for us. Now, 1 Corinthians has a number of these. So in chapter 12, verse 1, He says He gives us spiritual gifts. Things that relate to our spiritual warfare. Things that relate to our understanding in the Spirit and so on. He gives us diversities of gifts, just like He talked about in Romans. Gives different gifts to different people, but it's all the same Spirit. The gifts are different. The Spirit is the same, but they're all gifts. They're given to us. And He goes on and talks about how they're given to us for the benefit of the church. In chapter 13, verse 2, He says specifically the gift of prophecy. And I believe that in our circles, in our world today, that this is a gift that very few people are ready to receive. Most people reject it. I don't want it. And we'll see a little bit more about that in chapter 14, verse 1. You need to long, okay, in our lesson this morning, He talked about desiring wisdom, crying for it, seeking after it. Now here He says, desire spiritual gifts, but notice what He says, especially prophecy. So here's a gift that God wants to give, the gift of prophecy God wants to give to the church. He wants us to be able to speak into people's lives things that only are revealed by the Spirit of God. And you read stories, you hear stories about this where someone walks up to someone and they start talking to them and they're like, how did you know that? I've never told anyone. It was by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of prophecy. Now, that's not the only way that Spirit works, but that is one way. And we need to be willing to receive that gift if the church is going to be benefited. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, that God's gift is indescribable. There are no words that you can use that actually give a very good description of the gift God has given to us in Jesus Christ. You know, we use all kinds of words to try to explain, to try to identify, to try to make this all fit together. We do all of those things, but it's an unspeakable gift. It's just, I mean, I don't know how you'd feel if somebody walked up to you and gave you a check for $10 million and they said, "This is a gift." What kind of words would you use? What kind of words would you use? Thankful, yeah. Unbelievable, right? That's one of the first words we'd say. Are you kidding? Is this for real? You know, but that's what this whole thing is about. We're so churched and so brought up in these things, we don't even stop and think about the awesomeness of what this is all about. Paul says, we need to stop and think about this unspeakable gift that God has given beyond anything that man could ever give or think about. Now, the gift of Jesus. And this gift is described in a couple of ways there in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. He gave himself for our sins. Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And then Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. This was his purpose. This is the gift that God has given, and Jesus Christ, as God, gave himself. Now, I mentioned about there in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, Jesus ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And if you go read in that following, he talks about teachers, preachers, pastors, apostles, all those kind of things. And he says, those were given for the completing of the church, for the body to function properly. So God has given gifts, and those gifts are amazing. Steve brought out one of these things this morning there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I didn't have it down here, but I want to make note of it. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the Holy Spirit is at work in the church, in the body of Christ, in believers, drawing us together, working in and through us, giving us wisdom, giving us understanding. These are all gifts from God. And we need to receive them as such and understand them as such. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, here's a gift that he's given us. We've talked about, Lynn's talked about already some of the things that happened this week. Here's what Paul says. He's given us everlasting consolation and good hope. He's given that to us. That's a gift from God to us. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians. That's who he is. And so he's given of himself to us. He's given us this consolation, eternal consolation, and good hope through grace. He's given that to us. And so when we face difficulties, when we face trials, when we face those things, Holy Spirit comes and says, here's a gift. Here's a gift that's been given to you. Receive it. Receive it. And so when life's difficulties come, we have a choice. We have a choice to receive the gift that God gives us, eternal consolation and good hope. Or we can spend our time in a pity party and become bitter and hard. We have that choice. Here's one that I like. Paul tells Titus, you trust in God. He's the one that has given us all things richly to enjoy. That word richly there has the idea of abundantly, overflowing. So he's given us all things abundantly for us to enjoy. Do you take time to enjoy what God's given you? Have you stopped this morning to enjoy what God has given you? The beauty of creation, the joy of salvation, the gifts that He's given to us. Have you stopped to enjoy those this morning? Now, there's some things that God hasn't given us. He has not given us the spirit of fear. But He has given us power and love and a sound mind. Those are gifts from God. We can live under a spirit of fear. If we live under a spirit of fear, we will not be able to receive the gifts that God has given to us. We need to find our rest, our hope in Him. And we need to appreciate these gifts. Power, love, sound mind. Those are gifts from God. Those are gifts that He has given us. So don't let the enemy get you all confused and wrapped up in that spirit of fear. You know, you look around, I've heard some comments after this week or during this week of fear. Look, what do we got coming? What's going to go on in our nation, in our world? No, He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Walk in it, receive it. Now, here's one that blows your mind. I don't know about you, but I will be the first one to admit that God says some things that I believe and I do not understand. I cannot explain. Okay? Part of the scripture is mystery. Part of that He's revealed to us, and part of that will be revealed on the other side. And I think this is one of those parts that probably will be revealed on the other side. I don't understand that all. He saved us. He's called us with a holy calling. That's a gift. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Now listen, look at what He says next. Pay attention to this. Which was given us in Christ before the world began. Anybody want to explain that to me? He's telling us that these gifts that God has given to us were here before man was even formed, before creation was here. God had already given in Christ by His eternal purpose and grace. He'd given us gifts. He had given us gifts. Now, just a hint. You want to understand a little bit of that? Look at the story of Melchizedek. Because Scripture tells us that Jacob paid tithes to Melchizedek. Jacob wasn't born. Jacob's father wasn't even born. He said he did it in Abraham. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Jacob paid tithes to Melchizedek. Now your mind's really going in circles. See, God sees things in a whole nother realm than what we see. We see things here. God sees things there. And in God's mind, in God's view, in what God planned, that was done before the foundation of the world. Now, you start to think about how great God's gifts are. You start to think, well, what? What about these gifts? Well, they're pretty big. You don't want to pass them by. You don't want to forget about them. You don't want to lose sight of them for sure. In Hebrews, he talks about how God's gifts are given as a testimony, as a vindication, a verification of the presence of God. And I feel sorry. I honestly do. I feel sorry for those people today that believe that the sign gifts are gone. Because I see them operate across the world. And he says very plainly that God bore them witness. He's talking about as the gospel was being preached and proclaimed, both with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. God is giving out gifts. He's still giving them out. And he's using them to point to Christ. I've shared this story before. But our friends in Nepal had asked us to pray a number of years ago. I think it was around 2008, 2009, back in there. They had asked us to pray for a demoniac in a village way back in. They were praying. They knew about it. The village was very Hindu. And the boy's father was the head man of the village, about my age. And the boy was so overtaken with evil spirits that they had to build a cage to keep him in, a literal cage. And they took him his food and water. If he got out, he broke things and he hurt people. He was in his 20s. I don't know how long he'd been in there. And they prayed and they felt like the Lord was telling them to go to this village. And they went to the village, fasted and prayed and went to the village. They got to the village and they asked the father if they could pray for his son. He said no. He wanted to try a few more witch doctor remedies, that kind of thing. But they had spent a lot of money already. So they went back. The team went back to town. They prayed some more, fasted some more, asked us to pray some more. And sometime later, they felt like the Lord was saying, now's the time. Go to the village. And so they went to the village. And they asked the father this time, can we pray for your son? And he said, yes. They prayed for the son, cast out the demons, and the son was able to come out of the cage. He was okay. Didn't restore all of his mental capacity, but the violence left him. That following year, he sat in the conference, sat right there in the front. And his father came with a big smile on his face because the whole family, the whole village had turned to Jesus. Why? Because of gifts of the Holy Spirit that had caused people to see Jesus. That's why. So don't belittle those. They're happening all across the world, and part of the reason that we don't see them is because we won't take the gift. We say no. We don't need it. We don't want it. It's too scary, whatever else. Now, James says this for us. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of light, There's no darkness, no shadow of turning in Him. Everything's good. Everything's right. That's who He is. And He says, He gives gifts according to His person. Good gifts and perfect gifts. And those, the meaning there, the good gifts are gifts that benefit. They're fitting. So, you know, there's some gifts I could give you and they'd be absolutely worthless. It didn't matter how valuable they were. They wouldn't benefit anything. These gifts we get from God have benefit. They also have a completeness. So someone could give you a gift, and that might cause you to have expense or something related to it because that gift is not complete. Okay? God's gifts are for our benefit, and they complete us and complete His work in us. Now, I want to challenge you this morning. I said in the beginning, I have barely scratched the surface. I want you to go and think. When Jesus told stories about His Father, He almost always used the concept of giving. Remember the man that gave to his servants? He gave them gifts. He said, "You take care of this till I come back." He gave them something. Jesus is always telling stories about God giving. So I'd like to challenge you, not just to sit and look at what I presented this morning, but I'd like to challenge you to go before God and say, "God, would you show me by your Spirit the gifts that I am not receiving from you that you want to give to me?" I'm not pointing to any particular one. I just want us to do that. Maybe we're not receiving the eternal consolation and the good hope. Maybe that's not what we're receiving. Maybe we're not receiving prophecy. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. Just ask God to show you what gifts there might be that He has that He's wanting to bless you with, and for whatever reason, I've rejected it. Ignorance or just scared, whatever. Just ask Him. And just spend some time going through the Scriptures and looking at all these gifts that God has given. And Holy Spirit will take those gifts and open them to us and show us what God wants to do and what He wants to bring into our lives. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the many, many, many gifts, good gifts, perfect gifts that you've given to us. You've handed them down to us from heaven. You've given them to us abundantly for us to enjoy. And Father, we rejoice in your salvation that was planned and was given in Christ before the world began. We don't understand that. God, it blows my mind. But it's true. And it's a gift that you gave to all of humanity before humanity was even in existence. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the food that you've given us today. And we pray that you bless our time of fellowship together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.